And welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. I am thrilled today, beyond belief, to have my guest. I'm so excited to meet Virginia Contra. How are you doing, Virginia?
I am doing great, Sean, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm just honored that you had time to speak with us today because you are awesome. And it's so cool that I get to see your face and we're on Zoom and I'm talking to you. And it's like we've known each other forever, kind of. Even though we haven't. I'm going to give you a brief intro. Virginia Contra is the New York Times bestselling author of almost 30 novels, which is already mind-blowing that you have time to even talk to me. She is married to her college sweetheart, a coffee shop owner who keeps her well supplied with caffeine and material. They make their home in North Carolina, where they raise three mostly adult children. She's a firm believer in the strength of family, the importance of storytelling, and the power of love. And that is going to come up today in these questions. Your newest book is The Fairy Tale Life of Dorothy Gale. And I was just so thrilled to get a sneak preview of it before. Your publicist was nice enough to send me a link to it. I got to read it. So tell us about The Fairy Tale Life of Dorothy Gale.
Well, as the title, thanks for all those nice things. As the title implies, the main character is Dorothy Gale, who, of course, is inspired by the famous Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Now, I'm coming off retellings of contemporary reimaginings of Little Women because I've been thinking about the stories that made me, the stories that shaped me. The stories that formed my ideas about life and love and mothers and daughters and relationships and how to navigate the world. And The Wizard of Oz was one of the very first chapter books I read. And I can clearly remember sitting in a corner of my parents' living room with a copy of a book. And I didn't pay attention at the time to the inscription inside. I actually had to pull it off my bookshelves and look at it after I had already started writing this story. And it says, "To Philip with love, Aunt Hildy." And it's signed Christmas 1909. So this was a book that belonged to my grandmother's brother. That then was passed from my mother to me. And I loved it because it was such a story of adventure and escape. And like many children of my generation, I grew up watching The Wizard of Oz on TV, I think around the holidays, around this time every year. It was kind of a family event. For 30 years, people watched The Wizard of Oz around the holiday time. I don't think that I thought of it as the inspiration for the story of a woman's journey or a modern romantic, adventure. But this was during the pandemic. And I was dying for escape. I was dying for joy. I wanted to go over the rainbow. I wanted to go anywhere. And I remember that moment, that iconic movie moment in 1939 when Dorothy's gray farmhouse has landed, has been snatched up from canvas and deposited with a thump in the middle of Munchkin Land. And she opens the door. And there's this onrush of joy and color, technicolor, VistaVision, whatever it was at the time. It's this startling intrusion of gorgeousness, of being someplace else, of being someplace other. So I thought, yeah, that's what I want to do. That's where I want to go. And so I imagined a modern Dorothy from Kansas. She's a graduate student in the writing program who unwisely and unfortunately is exploited by a faculty mentor and best-selling writer who pillories her in his book. He presents a thinly disguised Destiny Gale, he calls her, in a novel which sells many copies, hits all the bestseller lists, is optioned for a movie. And there's my poor little graduate writing student caught in this tornado of public humiliation. So, and is in her reputation as a writer herself is completely shot. So she flees. She goes to Trinity College, Dublin, in Ireland, which is, of course, the Emerald Isle, and encounters friends and mentors and has adventures of her own. And it was a really wonderful opportunity for me to go on a journey myself as a writer, and with D. So it was a lot of fun to write. I hope readers feel that joy that I felt when I was writing it.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to, if they haven't already. And it's so interesting because I think we're going to see a lot of this reaction to the pandemic stories. I've already heard a lot of stories on the show about people like, yeah, I just needed to not be in my house. But that's a great way to get out in your mind as a writer. You can go anywhere you want. That's fascinating. Yeah, and I love the modern day parallels to the classic story because I was one of those kids that watched that every year. It was like a thing. Like, that was when you only had a few choices. So it was like it was an event. That's
It
going to be
was an
coming on.
event.
Yeah. We watched it. We loved it.
What was interesting for me as well, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead when you like
Oh
me to
no.
ask a question, you know.
We just do a free flow kind of thing here. We're good. We just flow.
Yay. Well, I just knew it was five compelling questions. So I'm like, sorry, wait for a question. But no, I have more to say. So I researched this book online because we couldn't go anywhere. And I had a subscription to the Irish Times, and Google Maps was my friend. And I studied photographs to the point where I can tell you what the graffiti looks like on Lower Abbey Street, you know. And so I wrote this book largely remotely. I was corresponding with some wonderful faculty members at Trinity College. But it wasn't until the latter stages of the book, like I had actually turned in the first draft, I had the opportunity to go to Ireland.
Ah, that is actually one of my questions. So we will go right there. What is your connection to Ireland? Tell us all about that and why you
I had
chose.
none. I had none. I mean, originally, to be honest with you, Dorothy's destination is the Emerald City, right? So I thought this book was going to be set in Seattle. But it didn't feel other enough. It didn't feel magic enough. And
Yeah.
I'm a former English major. I read all the things. Ireland is magic.
It is. It is very
So,
much. Yeah, for sure. I love it there. Yeah.
and it's other, right? And I had never been. So I'm like, yes, bring on the, you know, pixies and stuff. What I didn't expect, because I had immersed myself so deeply in Dublin in particular, was that when I got there, and I'm a Slovak Catholic from Philadelphia's main line. I am not married to an Italian. There's no returning to my roots about it, but it still felt like coming home.
That means it's meant to be. That is your home then.
I recognized things. I'm grabbing my husband's arm on the bus as we're at dawn, as we're driving from the airport to our hotel, and I'm like, we're crossing the River Liffey. I'm like, now we're entering Ballsridge. Look, there's the Grand Canal. And all these places that Dee had been to, we went and saw. And like, I'm going, there's St. Mary's Church, you know, which is where she goes on Christmas. And just to the point where we were even walking down, I think it's past Merriman Park and approaching the university, and I was meeting Bernice Murphy in the English department, and there's this long wall, Trinity College is behind the wall. And I said, okay, well, we have to cross the street because that's the roof of the arts building, which I knew because I had spent all this time looking at photographs and following the path. So it was, that was unexpected. And the people were so amazing. And I can't wait to go back.
Oh, that's so cool, though. You created that reality for yourself, and then you got to experience the real reality. That's amazing. Well, I'm glad you had that experience, and I think that your joy just comes through when you talk about it. So that's awesome.
Well, I did
Well,
change a, I did add a bar. Because at one point there was an unnamed pub, which now has a name. And I learned that there is a the writing program, the creative writing program at Trinity College is in the Oscar Wilde building, and there are several Oscar Wilde buildings in Dublin. It's sort of like George Washington slept here. Oscar Wilde lived here. But when I was doing it, I had always had her coming and going by the front door. And I did learn that there's a secret entrance. I mean, secret meaning you can't find it unless you have help through the science building from the campus side. So that was a change that I had to go back in and make. I'm sorry, I totally digressed.
No. We want, this is fascinating because that's your process. And so you learned, you did, you had to, that's research. You researched and you applied your research to your work, and you did it. You did it. You're doing, I could listen to you talk all day. You're fine. You're good.
You're
So
kind.
you, your previous novels, as well as this one, as we've said, you're updating classic books that a lot of people are very familiar with. So what is the appeal of that process? Why did you kind of land on this as like your thing? Like, what, and how hard is it? I mean, it seems like you have to be very loyal, but also be very original. It seems like you made yourself a rough road. Why would you do this?
That's a really good question. And it was much harder, quite honestly, with Little Women, because everybody has strong, and next I'm doing Anne of Green Gables. So just take, I have visions of Canadians storming the border and, taking me out and explaining to me why I can't do this. Why do I do this? Because story matters, because words have power, right? I have written, you can look behind me, actually, the camera's not angled so you can see, but I've written 30 or 40 books at this point. And I've loved every one, but I keep returning to the stories that really resonated with me. And I've gone back and read them. And I'm sometimes surprised by the truths that still resonate. And I'm sometimes surprised by my very different perspective. Now, when I read The Wizard of Oz when I was six, seven, young, what I really remember was that Dorothy was a very ordinary girl. And I liked that. It betrays my age when I tell you there were not a lot of kick-ass heroines at the time that I was reading. Women were mothers, or they were monsters, or they were sidekicks, or they were sweethearts. But they weren't often the hero of the story. And what's interesting about Dorothy Gale is she's so uninteresting. She's so like me. And so when I was six or seven, here she is largely powerless, and sometimes she cries, and sometimes she's disobedient, and mostly she tries to be kind. But she is the catalyst for so much more. And it's her ability to care about other people that not only helps her on her journey, but helps all of them achieve their goals. And I thought, ordinary girl finding her own voice. So as I'm digging into the research of the story, and L. Frank Baum, who, by the way, was married to the daughter of one of the founding suffragettes in the United States.
I didn't know that. That's
And
interesting.
his marriage vows were so, he was extraordinary enough in the suffragette movement himself that it was written in the newspaper that the bride's vows were exactly the same as the groom's. And if you look at the original Oz books, who has the power? The women. There are the witches, of course, and not all of the witches are evil, which was this book, the book came out in, I want to say 1909, 1900. So no, 1900. So it's, think about that time. Think about what the lot of women was, and how women are soldiers, women are leaders. Ozma of Oz, who spends part of her life as a boy. So let's go there. I mean, we could go there. It's a world in which ordinary girls have agency. And that then became my way into this contemporary telling.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting. That is fascinating that he, and it's almost like, let me set this in a sort of a fantastical way so people will believe it's a real thing that can happen, It was like, he wasn't writing straight fiction. It was like, let me make it like a crazy world where she goes into another universe so she can have power. That's fascinating take on it. I never thought of it that way. Because we always come to things from our age, and I was a kid of the 80s, 70s, 80s, and it's like, oh, this is just what girls do. I didn't think of it, from that time period. That is fascinating.
Historically.
Fascinating. Yeah.
And that's why if when I was writing D Story, the fairy tale life of Dorothy Gale, she starts out with no voice. She starts out defined by her mentor, who puts her in his book through the male gaze, makes her a certain way. She's comes in for all kinds of online criticism, as you can imagine. And so the book is largely a process of Dee telling her own story, of Dee finding her own voice. And when have women needed voices more than now?
Absolutely. We're not done. We're not done fighting for all the things we need to have happen. So, oh, that's it's so fast. It's like listening to a professor when you speak.
Oh.
I love this. So next, another question for you, because since we're talking about the story of the book and everything, there's always an undercurrent of darkness in Wizard of Oz. There's a for even as a kid, I picked up on it. Where are her parents? That was always a thing. She's living with her aunt and uncle, which is like, was she, are they dead? Like, what's going on? So she's away from home, where her parents and family or whatever. You explore love and friendship in the book, your book, and the darker side of those, lovely emotions that can all of a sudden turn, which you've kind of been alluding to here and there in this conversation. What draws you? And you talk about love in your bio. So you're a love fan. You're a love fan, but love, as we know, can be the worst thing that can ever happen to you sometimes. So why do you find this is like your, why are you so drawn to these kind of darker love stories to write them?
Well, the world is dark, right?
Yeah, as we've established.
And I think that there's a reason why most of the Disney princesses are orphans.
Yeah. That's true.
Is that when you remove a certain level of support, I mean, your go-to person can call to call for many women is your mom. When things go bad, you can call your mom. So when you remove that, what have you got? And I think at some point, our life task, and this is another reason why I think I've gone back to some of the books that were the stories that were formative to me, is there's a process in your 20s, maybe even going into your 30s. I will call this the new coming of age novel, right? Because I think our society and the pandemic has stalled launching, has stalled the coming of age. So I think a lot of my readers are coming to grips with the same things that my heroines are coming to grips with, which is another reason why it's kind of fun to take these coming of age stories and age them up. So there you are, and you have to find yourself. And when I write about love, when I teach about love, I talk about something called the vision of the beloved in the eyes of the lover. So you can sometimes see yourself best through the reflection of yourself in someone else's eyes. So earlier I was talking about the way that Dee is seen by her mentor through the male gaze and presented to the world in a way that's devastatingly destructive. But she finds herself again, in part because of the way her friends see her, because of the way the two love interests, and I've never done two love interests in a book before, but the two men that she sees, that she comes to know and befriends, see her in a particular way, which is both true to who she is and challenges her to grow. And I am a firm believer that's part of your journey, is figuring out who your best self can be and figuring out who can help you become that self. So yeah, I'm really drawn to love, and I think having the right person with you can make your growth as a human being possible or very, very difficult. And at some point then, there's your mom who's your person you call, but then there's also can be finding your other person, the person who sees you as the beloved, right? As the
Yeah.
best self.
Sometimes that's the best day. That's the best way to think of things. I love that. That makes I'm gonna that's very contemplative. I'm gonna think about that for a while. Because you have different relationships with people that you're romantically with, but then you also have, work friends that see you in a certain way. And it's just interesting. That's very fascinating. Love comes in a lot of different forms. And you write
Yeah,
about a lot of them.
and
You write about a
that
lot
was
of them.
one of
Destructive love, good love, destructive love, bad love, d betrayal is a big thing. So you are fascinating. Love it. So is there really, this is actually an official question. Is there really no place like home? That's always the line that comes to my mind. There's no place like home. We're to like lighten the mood a little bit. Did you play around with it? Because you take her on a journey. It's a journey story. And going back to one of your original answers, it's like there's only five different kinds of stories. There's the hero story, the journey story. So is there no place like home? And I like how you played with that notion. So tell us about that concept.
Okay, so there are two iconic lines from The Wizard of Oz. One is, there's no place like home. And how indeed, so a movie made in 1938, 39, well, it was made in 1938, I guess. What does the young prepubescent girl do? She returns home, and her magical adventures were but a dream, which nevertheless enables her to see more kindly the world that she finds herself in. And that's a good thing. She finds strength. She brings her qualities. It's very hero's journey. It's very male narrative. She brings her newfound knowledge back to her ordinary domestic life, and she's happy there. Was that the story that I wanted to tell? Or with my adult perspective, did I want to send a different message? Well, there's another iconic line from both the book and the movie, although I think it's tweaked, so it's slightly different. It's in the book, it's "You've always had the power, my dear. You just had to learn it for yourself." It's that moment before Dorothy click, it comes, they come right next to each other. It's right before Dorothy clicks her heels together three times and says, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home." No, the point is, she had the power to go where she wanted to go.
Yes,
She
that's a
just
good
had to
point.
figure it out. So, my Dorothy, the line is, "You had the power inside you all along."
Perfect. Because we do. You really do. It's just sometimes you don't realize it until it's shown to you, but you should. The point is to search, as you said earlier, know yourself, and then you find all those, you find that power. That is so
And
cool.
so that's the other, so the two iconic lines are, "There's no place like home," and that is a perfectly legit line. I mean, it was important to me that, having gone to Dublin, that Dee does return to Kansas, because she has left some things unresolved. She's left things unresolved at the university that she attended, and she's left things unresolved with Aunt Em, her mother figure. And those are, you know, there's you, if you learn that you've had to, that you can slay dragons, then go ahead and slay them. You know, if
Absolutely.
you've learned something about maternal love, and she does, because she has these relationships with these very powerful women in the at Trinity in Trinity College. And she can bring some of that, as well as her own experience as a sister, mothering her sister, she can bring those back to her perspective of who her aunt has been for her. So she needed to go home. Did she need to stay there? I didn't think so.
I think you're right. Yeah,
So.
that's a good answer to a complicated question. That's very good. I love that. Because it seems like a simple question, but it was not.
No, well, it was, I honestly didn't have all the pieces of that until I was in the very last stages of writing the book. Like, I knew there was stuff unresolved in Kansas, but I did, and by the way, the university town where KU is a pretty nice place. It is much more cosmopolitan than, you know, you might think, if you're thinking of Dust Bowl cornfields or something. But I wanted her to, as I say, have the power. I wanted her to have the choice, because I think, again, I said, we need stories with where women have voices. We need stories where women have choices.
That's absolutely right. Weirdly enough, I have an uncle that lives in Lawrence, Kansas.
Okay.
And he works at the university, the law library. He retired. But he worked there for, like, I don't know, 30 years or something, like forever. He was always there. So, but we're not from there. He just went out there, got that job, loved it, stayed, never came back. But yeah, he thinks it's great. And it is. It's a cool town. It's a cool town. So there's lots of, I have lots of family. There's people everywhere. Randomly, oh yeah, I know. So I have an uncle that lives there. All right, well, this is the last question. Number five, you're obviously extremely accomplished. You're quite brilliant. Had a lot of success. You've done the things that all writers want to be. What advice would you give to a writer who's just starting out? You said you teach also, and or what advice would you give to your younger writing self? Either of those, you can choose, or both.
Wow. Well, you make me sound wiser than I am. And maybe that's where I should start. We're all like tiny islands and egos surrounded by oceans of insecurity.
Yes, that is true.
And I think that you can't let the waves get to you. The advice that I would give to my younger self, because my first book wasn't published till I was 42. The advice that I would give is that you have something worthy of saying, and you are capable of saying it. And no one can tell your story but you, because your story, even if, like me, you're paddling around in in stories that have been beautifully told in the past, no one has your emotions. No one has your experience. So no one is going to say what you have to say in the way that you would uniquely say it. So I think you just kind of have to take a deep breath and try to tell your truth.
That's great advice. Very, very good advice. And that's seems like that's what you've followed to get to where you are. Because it is. It's and people are always ready to come and tear you down, which is, and it sucks for a day or two, and then you get over it. We want the next thing.
Well, I will confess, I read my reviews. Some of them I read the way I used to watch The Wizard of Oz. There was a point in the movie for years when Dorothy is locked up in the witch's castle, and they have what is that glow? The glow, the seeing ball. What do you meant the magic ball? What is that called?
Yeah, I forget, but I know I can visualize it. I don't
Right.
remember.
Okay. So there's that big glowing orb, and Aunt Em appears in it, and Dorothy leans over it, and she goes, "I'm here, Auntie Em. I'm here." And then the vision of Aunt Em disappears, and this green globe glow appears, and the witch goes, "I'm here, Auntie. Oh my God. It terrified me as a child. And I would always, when I saw, obviously after the first time when I was practically crying, I would always, when I knew that part of the movie was coming, I would put my hands over my eyes and kind of peek through my fingers. Why did I tell the story? This was supposed to be some extended metaphor that led to something else. I have no idea what it was.
Facing our fears, I
Facing
think
our fears. There we go. Yeah,
is
that's
where you're going, yeah.
you just kind of have to go there and look at those things that you're scared of and write about them.
Yeah, you can't be let fear keep you from anything you really want to do or be, like in life, writing, creativity, marriage,
All the
anything.
things.
It's all the things. It applies to life in general. So that's very good. Well, it's been a joy to have you. So are you going, where can people find you? Is the book coming out today? When is the book
The
out?
book
So
will come out December 5th.
that's right. That's right. It's coming out for just in time for the
In
holidays
time,
when everyone's going to be
I
watching
thought
the
that was,
movie.
well, I mean, so here's the thing. Originally, the movie Wicked was scheduled to come out this holiday season. So that would have been lovely. That did not happen. It's the movie was delayed, and it's now two movies coming out in 2024 and 2025. However, it is the 20th anniversary of the musical Wicked on Broadway. So which I had on autoplay, auto replay, something, that story for the song For Good, there are people who come into our lives for a reason, was the soundtrack for this book. I must have listened to that at least once a day when I was writing, when I needed to be reminded of what I was doing. So yes, anyway, the book is out December 5th. It is at all major retailers. Signed copies will be available from Bookmarks in Winston-Salem and Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh. I will be at both on alternate nights. And yeah, I hope people will pick it up. I hope they'll fall a little bit in love with Dee and with Tim and with Sam and with Riti, who And with Ireland. I hope they'll
Absolutely.
feel that happiness, that magic.
Yeah, well, just watching you talk about it, your fate, you just light up. You're just one of these joyous kind of people that are, you're bouncing with enthusiasm about everything. So that has to translate to the writing, which it does. So fans or not fans of Oz or Wicked should read this book. It's so good. The Fairy Tale Life of Dorothy Gale. We will look for you online and at True Events. Quell Ridge Books is a really good store, and I've been to that one. But yeah, so it was just a joy to meet you and have you on the show. Wish you all the best, and I hope you come back with the next book. Of
I would love to. And John, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
course, like I said, it was like listening to a professor speak about all the good things we're supposed to be doing with our lives. So, enjoy the rest of your day, and all the best to you, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.